Welcome back to the Homeschool Conversation podcast, where we talk all things homeschool. On today's episode, I have a special guest, Ryan Delk, and he is the creator of a brand new homeschool platform called Primer. And I can't wait for you guys to hear all about the platform, but also for you to hear from a homeschooled kid and his point of view of what it was like to be homeschooled. So if you've never had an opportunity to listen to Ryan, I encourage you that this conversation is going to change the way you think about homeschooling and will even give you some ideas of how you can start taking advantage of all of the help that is out there for you. Yeah, so thanks for doing this for me today. I'm so excited to have a male perspective on the show because I normally only get to interview homeschool moms. And so it's exciting to have a male's perspective about what it was like to be homeschooled. So I'm excited to hear about what your journey was like being homeschooled. And I know you said that you were homeschooled from kindergarten to eighth grade. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, tell me a little bit about you and what it was like to be homeschooled. And then since you didn't homeschool all the way, what was it like for you to transition into high school? And then I don't know what you did after that.
Sure. Yeah. So my story is interesting because my mom was actually a public school teacher, and when she was in school getting her teaching degree, she actually wrote one of her capstone projects on why homeschooling should be illegal and why it was a terrible form of education for kids. And then we moved to Florida when I was really young, and she took me to the kindergarten orientation and just felt like, okay, I can't leave him here. She'd already been doing kind of probably what you would call homeschool for like pre-K when we were young. And she just felt like the schools in Florida were really bad at the time, and we didn't have any money to go to private school. So the public kindergarten was the only option. And she just felt like they would kind of like squelch my love of learning. And so she decided to homeschool me. She said, oh, I'll just do this for a year, and then we'll send you, you know, to public school in first grade. Fast forward 16 years later, she's homeschooled me and my two younger siblings, all actually from K through 8, and then we all went to different high schools. And it was a pretty big decision. We didn't have a lot of money. So early on, my dad was working three jobs so that my mom could stay home and homeschool us. So it was a huge sacrifice. And my parents' whole view on education was really, we want our kids to, they didn't really care what we were like at age 10 or 15. They cared about what we were like at 25 or 30. And so they were really optimizing for a longer point on the horizon. They're much more oriented, I think, more long-term than most parents were. And because of that, they really just cared that we loved learning. That was actually like the thing that mattered to them. And so our homeschooling was still very structured. My mom was, you know, a professional teacher. So we weren't like, you know, fully on the unschooling spectrum, but they really wanted education and learning to be something that we felt like was this journey that we could go on and not this thing that was compulsively thrust upon us. And so anytime there was an opportunity to follow our interests or things that we were excited about or make things real in the real world, that was always their default. And so, you know, when it was time to learn about the American Revolution, my mom put us in a van and we drove to the Northeast from Florida and, you know, went to all the 13 colonies and all the sites to learn about it. And that was just kind of her ethos. And so, it was really incredible.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, your mom sounds awesome. I want to interview her next.
She's amazing.
I mean, I'm sure it still had her own difficulties with being a teacher and being trained to teach in the classroom setting versus homeschooling. I'm sure was such a different experience for her. I feel like a lot of teachers actually have a hard time homeschooling because they are trained to teach in a certain way, but it seems like your mom totally opened up and was willing to mold your experience to what you were interested in. That's awesome. I just like love that the whole American Revolution example of driving around to all the different states. I mean, that stays with you forever. Totally. So then, I mean, how was it like for you then when you kind of got into the real world? Like people say they're scared to homeschool because they feel like their kids will never survive in the real world. You know, they feel like if they're homeschooled, then they won't be able to get into college, or like, what if I can't homeschool them anymore? What if I can't homeschool them anymore? And then they do have to go back to school. They won't be ready. They won't know how to sit. So did you feel like that at all? Like, did you feel like when you did have to go to high school that you couldn't sit in the chair? Like you didn't know how to take a test, or you didn't know how to interact with people, or was it any type of culture shock for you at all?
No, I would say if anything, I felt the opposite. I mean, I was homeschooled K through 8, and then I went to a school for 9 through 12th. That was a very kind of academically rigorous school. That was a K through 12 school. And most of the kids in my class had been going there since kindergarten. Very few people came in just for high school. And I would say I felt it was a classical education school. So it was a very specific type of education, if you're familiar with the classical model. So lots of debate, lots of sort of, you know, arguing both sides of a point, learning how to argue things you disagree with, all those kind of things. And I felt like if anything, I was better prepared than even people that had, you know, spent 9 years, kindergarten through eighth grade, sort of being prepared for that type of education. And I think my parents, you know, they were always encouraging us to, you know, play sports or do music or, you know, pursue arts or go start businesses on the side. Like I remember, like when I was very, very young, I wanted to make little wooden things and sell them to our neighbors. So my mom was like, great, go make those and go knock on doors and see if anyone will buy them. And, you know, I don't think anyone did buy them, or maybe someone did out of pity. But, you know, I was learning people skills and I was learning, you know, the very, very basics of like sales, you know, at a young age. And so that evolved into a lawn business and a pressure washing business. And so I kind of felt like I was, you know, even maybe as socialized, if that's the word that everyone uses, if not more than sort of my peers of the same age, because I had all this interaction in the real world and all this interaction with adults that just happened sort of as a byproduct of our education.
Right. Yeah. And then what about academically speaking, how did you feel? Did you feel like there was gaps in your education when you had to step into that first day of ninth grade or 10th grade or just throughout your high school journey? Do you feel like, oh, I never learned that? Like, I think a lot of parents worry that if they homeschool their kids, there's going to be gaps in their education. And so they don't. And then I wonder if that's true. You know, did you feel like there was gaps?
You know, I didn't. I think it's probably of the many things that I give my mom credit for. That's one of the big ones. I think she was pretty, she let us all kind of move at our own speed. In public school, like mastery-based learning and traditional school, mastery-based learning is this sort of big in vogue thing over the last decade or so. And the interesting thing about homeschooling is you kind of just like never move on until you've mastered a subject. And like, you're never gonna move on if you don't understand something. And so she kind of let us go as fast as we want. So I think me and my siblings were always probably, you know, in a few subjects, a grade or two ahead, maybe one subject or two were like on grade level or slightly behind. And she was kind of comfortable with that. But then when she knew that we were moving into a traditional school environment, she was really conscious of like making sure that we were all sort of set up for success. And so that's something that I think is really difficult to do as a homeschooler and needs to be made, you know, a lot easier for parents.
Yeah, I could see that too, because I feel like everybody has gaps in their education, whether you go to school or you're homeschooled, there's going to just be certain things you don't know or that you didn't understand well, because either you weren't interested in it or you didn't feel good that day or whatever it is. So I feel like there's such a fear of having gaps in your education if you're homeschooled, but I feel like that happens regardless. And I wonder if, do you feel like your mom was she the main person that homeschooled you, or did your dad also play a role?
Yeah, so I think that was another thing that was really unique, is that my dad and mom both, I'm not going to say they split it evenly because they didn't, but my dad, and early on my dad was working a lot, but they definitely were both involved. So my dad would teach a lot of, he was really good at math and writing and a lot of science stuff and some languages. And so he would teach us, like I remember him teaching us Latin, and he would teach us, like do most of our math stuff with us. And my mom was really, really good at like social studies and some of the science stuff and you know, history and things like that. And so they kind of just divided up based on their strengths. And so I remember, like, you know, before my dad would go to work, we would wake up early and do like an hour of math with him or Latin lessons or things like that, that I have a lot of memories of. And so I think that's also a huge, you know, if you do have both parents at home, I think it is a huge opportunity for both parents to be able to lean into their strengths, because sometimes the gaps are related to the kid not being interested, but then it also might be something that a parent isn't equipped to teach well for a specific subject. And so if you do have the benefit of having two parents at home, I definitely think it should be, that's one of the things we want to do at the primer, at the company I'm building. We really want to make it more of a, for families that do have two parents, like a sort of dual effort where both parents are really engaged in the education and it's not just one parent, you know, being primarily engaged.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk about the business you're building, Primer, because of a number of reasons I'm excited to talk about it. But so now, given the whole shift that's happening with the homeschool community, there's a whole bunch of people that are now jumping into the homeschool boat. They never thought they would. I mean, they think distance learning is homeschooling. We're trying to tell them it's not. So, I mean, what do you think of everything that's happening? Do you feel like you were, like, what would you say to families who are listening right now that think they've been homeschooling this whole time and they hate it. And they're like, I can't do this. It's not going to work. Distance learning was horrible.
Yeah. So I would say, so I have a few thoughts. So one is, I think it needs to be said that public school teachers, I think, are heroes for everything they're trying to do for, you know, their students right now. And I think, you know, they're basically trying to create an entire, work with an entirely new model for education, figure out how to make it work effectively on no notice, you know, late in the spring.
I agree.
And so I think that's something that often gets lost, is just the Herculean effort that so many teachers are putting in. I think as far as parents who, you know, whether if you're using, so I don't think homeschooling is for everybody, but if you're using this last, you know, whatever, 3 months or 4 months of schools being shut down as the test of homeschool, there's two things that I think are really, really difficult about this. The first is that in most states and most cities, for the bulk of that, people weren't allowed to go into work. And so both parents were working from home, which is extremely challenging if you're not set up for that and has its own category of stress and you know, sort of ripping up your rhythm of life.
So
and
true.
So that's really, really difficult. And then two, I would say, and especially in dual income households, right? So for most dual income households, they're not homeschooling. And so it is extremely difficult if two parents are working from home and you're trying to do homeschooling. And the second thing I would say is, I think the way that, you know, when a public or traditional school tries to restructure their schools through distance learning, they're going to take a lot of the same models for classroom education and sort of flip it into a digital world. And most of my, you know, homeschooling experience, if you observed a day of our homeschooling, it doesn't look really anything like you know, a traditional classroom environment. And so everything from the amount of time that's spent on, you know, on learning to the way that learning actually looks, you know, you're spending very little time in front of a textbook. My mom, I remember this example, she told me where, this was maybe when I was in first grade or kindergarten, we were learning about a flower and the pistil and the stamen and the different parts of flowers and how flowers reproduce. And I was just like getting super angry and frustrated, like looking at this textbook and trying to remember what they were called. And I couldn't remember the difference between a pistil and a stamen. And finally she's like, what are we doing? She's like, got me out of the chair, walked into the backyard, found a flower, got a knife, cut the flower open, and showed me where the pistil and the stamen were. And all of a sudden I got it.
And I'm sure you were like, what is happening in front of my eyes?
Right, exactly. And I think that's an example where, you know, those are the types of things I think homeschool, the opportunity that homeschooling allows you to have in those types of learning moments, but it takes a totally different model for education. And so I think if you are a parent who has seen your kid, maybe you're noticing your kid's more creative or, you know, is less angry or less stressed or more excited or more interested in learning certain things, there's a lot of ways to lean into that in homeschooling that don't involve just sort of shoehorning the distance learning or traditional classroom model into a distance learning environment.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I feel like a lot of parents think that they've been homeschooling and it's not working. And I feel like the difference with distance learning versus homeschooling, like what you're saying, is that you aren't really on someone else's timeline like you are. I feel like with the distance learning, they have projects to do. They have to log on at certain times. The content that they have to learn is a forced content. It's not like you have the freedom to learn about what your child's interested in. You kind of have to learn whatever is like on the state standard curriculum for the school.
Yep.
And so, I mean, how different is homeschooling than like, what was an average day like for you? Because I feel like parents are skeptical. They're like, I don't understand. I've been at home schooling my kid. How is homeschooling different than distance learning?
Yeah. So I think one thing a lot of parents are realizing that I've heard from tons of parents, even who aren't planning on homeschooling next year, is just they realize how much time at school is spent on things that aren't learning.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. You know, it's not bad that kids are doing other things at school at all. But I think we have this notion that, oh, kids need to be working on schoolwork for 7 hours a day in order to complete their education on time or whatever. And anyone who's homeschooled or observed a school for a day would know that that's just totally not true. And so I think one, when you cut out all the filler stuff that happens at school and repurpose that time into playing in the backyard or, you know, whatever kids want to do, that shortens it dramatically. And then two, you allow the, because you can move at the speed of every kid, you're not moving at the speed of 30 kids, you're moving at the speed of one kid. And so you can move much faster through things or much slower through things. And so most of our, I would say the average day for us would be, we always did the subjects kind of in the same order. So like my dad would do maybe math and Latin with us in the morning or whatever language we were learning at the time. And we would spend, you know, 45 minutes or an hour, like very focused on that. And then we would take a break, go outside, run around, read a book, whatever. And then we would maybe do an hour or two, you know, more focused work before lunch. And then the afternoon was typically like one more thing, whether it was another subject or something that we needed to work on or a book report or things like that. And then, you know, early in the afternoon, we were sort of free to go, you know, work on businesses that we were trying to start or, you know, whatever we wanted to get into. And so that was the typical day for us. And it was really these sort of bursts of focused time and then a lot of time to be creative and explore things that we're interested in. And my mom, to this day, you know, she cannot help herself if you show that you're interested in something from like turning it into a teaching moment. And it's amazing. And now for like my son, it's so cool because I get to see her do that with him. But you know, anything we were interested in, whether it was like skimboarding at the beach or, you know, starting a lawn company or starting a pressure washing company or anything, it was always about how to teach it into a learning moment. And I remember I went to this co-op where the sodas were 75 cents to get a soda during lunch. And so I asked her, hey, will you take me to Publix, which is a grocery store in Florida, and let me buy some sodas and I'll put them in a cooler and then I'll bring them and I'll sit next to the soda like machine at lunch and I'll sell them for 50 cents. And she was like, sure, but you need to actually figure out like how much money you're going to make and how much are they going to cost. And so I had to do the math to figure out, okay, if I buy a 12 pack for this amount, and you know, maybe a lot of moms would have been like either no or sure, whatever, go do that. But for her, it was like, great, I can teach him, you know, a little bit about business and a little bit about division and a little bit about math here. And so that's just, you know, one example of something that wouldn't have shown up on a homework assignment at all, but something I was interested in that she turned into a learning moment.
There's a huge joke going on in the homeschool community that a homeschool mom can never just change a light bulb. It's like, no, first we need to find out where's the light bulb made, who's the first person who invented the light bulb. Let's go to the store and like find out how much light bulbs cost, what are the different types of light bulbs, and then we're all going to change a light bulb together. We're going to go through all the dangerous things that can happen, and then we can change the light bulb.
Totally. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it's just funny how homeschool moms just see that you grow, I think, to see learning opportunities in your everyday life and how those things actually stick with your kids into adulthood, clearly, as it did for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wonder now, so the things you were interested in as a kid, do you find that because you were given that space to pursue them, that now as an adult, it's helped you transition into your career path now? Or do you feel like the things you were interested in are totally unrelated and you kind of were allowed, do you feel like it was a waste of time that you pursued certain things as a kid? You know, I kind of wonder about that. Like,
yeah,
when I'm homeschooling my own kids and I'm letting them pursue their interests, I'm like, what does this even mean? Like, you want to design t-shirts and draw on them. And I'm like, what does that have to do with, what career path could that turn into? So I wonder about that, since you've already been through it, if you feel like the interests you had as a kid, did that feed into anything for you as an adult?
Yeah. I think there's a temptation to view the interest itself as the thing that you hope blossoms into something. Like, oh, my kid's really into graphic design. I hope they become a designer or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think my parents helped me see that there was a lot of value in the work itself. And so whether or not I wanted to ever, you know, become a musician or anything that I was interested in, the value of hard work, the value of solving problems, the value of discovering something that you love, the value of meeting other people through that, all those things are sort of like muscles that you're working out that then can be transitioned or transferred into almost any other skill that you try to do later. And so for me, I think I actually did, you know, I was very interested in starting companies and figuring out ways to make money from a very young age. And I was selling Cokes at school at a co-op I went to, and then, you know, flipping iPhones and iPod touches and I think high school, mowing lawns. And that just kind of continued, and they were great about me. I remember like, my parents were letting me do like, you know, Craigslist deals with people when I was like, I don't know how old I was, but you know, in high school, and I think a lot of parents would probably not let them do that. Mm-hmm. And they were really good at just like kind of, you know, they kept me safe, but like they just gave us a lot of kind of leash to kind of do whatever we wanted within our interests. And so for me, now I'm, you know, starting companies and building tech companies. And so, you know, there was a ton of transferability for me. And I think back on lessons that I learned through the stuff that they set me up to all the time. But I think even if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't regret that. And I think I would have learned so much, you know, even if I went on to do something totally unrelated.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I feel like I need you to say all of that again about how the process is so much more important than thinking of, okay, like my daughter's drawing on t-shirts and she wants to draw on t-shirts all the time. She wants to make designs. So she must want to be a graphic designer, or my son loves animals. Maybe he wants to be a marine biologist. It's like, no, maybe there's so much more going on behind the scenes. And I just love what you had to say about that. Okay, so now I really want to hear about, so you loved starting up businesses when you were younger, and now you feel like that's actually translated into your adulthood with building businesses. So now you have actually combined it all with your homeschooling experience, and you started this platform called Primer, which is how I found you in the first place. I think I saw a ad on my Facebook feed about it. So I was like immediately interested in knowing more about it, and I ended up reaching out to you, and here we are. So yeah, I want to hear more about this platform. What is this platform called, Primer?
Yeah. So about 3 years ago, or a little over 3 years ago, we had our first, got pregnant with our first kid and started thinking about education. And I was like, oh, we should look into homeschooling. And I just had sort of assumed that 20 whatever years after I was homeschooled, someone had built this very simple way to just get started homeschooling. They handle the state regulations for you. They hook you up with local co-ops. They give you a community for your kids. It's like someone has to have built this right now. And I was stunned that it doesn't exist. It's like, it's basically just as hard to get started homeschooling today as it was 20 years ago. It's just, you do it through Facebook groups and church co-ops and things instead of, you know, the offline versions that everyone was doing 20 years ago. And so I called my mom and I called a bunch of different homeschool families. I asked her to connect with a bunch of homeschool families. I called a bunch of homeschoolers that I knew, and they were all like, yeah, it's like there's, you know, every family feels like they're reinventing the wheel over and over and over again. And you know, for me, I was like, you know, we would love to homeschool, but A, like we don't really know how to get started. California has a lot of regulations. It's extremely hard to figure out the charter schools and how you homeschool under a charter umbrella, and there's waiting lists and all this stuff. And then B, like even just besides that, like navigating the curriculum and how do you find community for your kids? And so I started just noodling on an idea several years ago, just to think about, okay, what would it look like to bring all that together for homeschool families? And then as my son started getting older and we started researching schools in San Francisco, which are, you know, either extremely expensive for private schools, or you're entering into a public school lottery and you don't know where your kid's gonna go to school. They might go to school 45 minutes away from where you live. It was just, it became clear just how broken this was. And so I'm kind of building this for me, honestly, you know, for my son and future kids as well. But then as I started talking to more homeschool families, it was clear that there was a huge need in the market as well, and a huge opportunity to use homeschooling as sort of this way to help the next generation of kids become more ambitious, more creative. And I think about the ideal education is really about how can you help every kid reach their potential. And for every kid, that's going to look, the path to that is going to look totally different, and what their potential is going to look totally different. And I think the idea that there's like this one size fits all model to help, you know, kids reach their potential is not, I mean, we all know that's not true. And so I think homeschooling is just this really unique opportunity to build a product that makes that a lot easier. So what we're building is the first thing we're launching in August, sending out invites in August, is basically a series of communities that kids can join. So there's a, you know, community on inventions and building things. There's a community on building your own video games, which we take kids' interest in video games and actually teach them how to code through that, which is kind of a cool thing. There's one on biology and nature, and then there's one on storytelling and how to use, you know, videos or writing or anything to tell stories. And there'll be a bunch more too. Those are just the four that we're launching with. And when kids join these clubs, there's all these other kids in the club that are interested in the same things that they're interested in. And there's a library of projects that they can complete. And as they're doing a project, they see the progress that all the other kids are making. They can ask questions from the other kids. Hey, I'm struggling with making my rocket, you know, fly straight. Have you all tried anything? Oh, and then another kid can respond and say, oh yeah, try moving the fin to here and you know, see what happens. And so there's these communities that kids create, and we have about 150 to 100 families that are in beta right now. And these kids are doing these projects, and they're getting so excited to see these other kids that also share their interests. And what we think is really powerful about this is that when kids are sort of, it's a very moderated, very safe community, but kids are able to interact directly. And so when they're able to interact directly, all these amazing things happen where they start learning from each other in a way that's really, really powerful. And so what we want, this first product is basically going to be, we think of it almost like this virtual world that kids can join and they can spend time on, and they're learning all this stuff that's, you know, relevant to their grade level and ties into math and science and social studies and writing and all these subjects, school subjects, but from their perspective, they're just pursuing their interests. And so this first product is meant to be, you know, mostly supplementary. Unschoolers might, you know, view this as like the core of their homeschooling, but I think most families will supplement this with other curriculum. And then from there, we're working on building out sort of a full suite of homeschooling products that can help anyone get started. And we were actually going to build that first, but then when the coronavirus happened and there was clearly a huge need for a product like this. And so we sort of shifted to build just these communities first. And then we're going to have this, we're calling it like a full stack solution where we'll have the compliance stuff to make it really easy to be compliant in your state. We'll have coaching available for parents. So if you want to become a better homeschool, you know, teacher, you'll have a coach available for you. And then also sort of an operating system for figuring out which curriculum to use, how to choose the right curriculum for your kid, track their progress, all that kind of stuff, alongside all the communities as well. And so that's sort of like the thing that we'll roll out next year, but we'll have these communities live in August and ready to go for families.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I don't know why something like that doesn't already exist. You would think that with all of the need for all those things that it would exist. And I feel like that is such a common conundrum people find themselves in, is they don't know where to start. And even with Facebook, even with all, I'm in like probably 50 different homeschool groups, and yeah, all, and I'm shocked how many people every day will comment and say, where do I start? I don't know where to start.
Exactly.
Or they say, I don't know what curriculum to choose. I know I want to homeschool, but I don't know like what curriculum I should pick. And so I'm shocked with all the access we have to information through the internet, through the library, through social media, there's still a tremendous like deficit in that access to that knowledge. And there's not like one uniform place that you can come and get a coach and get and do projects and for kids to interact. I know recently outschool.com has grown in popularity with the homeschool community and even with distance learning community because of that, because they're able to interact with other kids. But you do have to pay for each class, and then you do have to make sure you log on at a certain time. And so is it going to be like how OutSchool is, where you log on at certain times for certain classes, or is it like a fluid, like ongoing community where kids log on and see whoever's happens to be on at that time?
Yeah, it's totally fluid. So our vision is like, you know, there might be kids that work together in the same club with the same interests for years, and they're just doing projects together, and you know, they might team up on projects. And so yeah, they can log in whenever they want, they can start working on projects, they can do it, you know, in any time zone, anywhere in the world. And we will have synchronous events, so we'll have things like you know, for the Inventions Club, we're going to do a session with a SpaceX engineer that actually built one of the recent SpaceX part of the recent SpaceX launch that just happened, one of the rockets, and have him talk about like what it's like to build, you know, a rocket to launch astronauts in, and answer kids' questions about space and physics, and you know, even help them with building their rockets. And so we'll do live events like that where they can log on and ask questions, and those will always be available. But there's no mandatory, you know, they don't have to join for that at all.
Wow, that's awesome. And then what about the coaching side of it? What is that going to look like for the parents that need like the compliance help with paperwork and I don't know, just general encouragement with the homeschooling stuff?
Yeah, so we built a tool called Navigator, which is live right now at withprimer.com/navigator. And what that does is you can enter in your address and then your kids' grades, and we'll give you a customized report of everything you need to homeschool compliantly in your county, and how to send the forms in, if they're required, what types of documentation you need to maintain, what kind of standards you need to meet, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of step one. And then step two will be when we roll out the coaching feature, which will probably be early next year. That'll be where we actually pair you up with someone who is actually can help you, whether it's give you feedback on, you know, how your kids are doing, or answer questions, or just give you confidence, or anything related to compliance or regulations. We want them to be able to handle all that for you. And so that'll roll out probably early next year. And that's something I'm really excited about, because when I think about homeschooling my son, there's all these questions that I have. I'm like, oh, I would love to be able to talk to an expert about that. And the fact that we can have a team of experts available for homeschool parents is just really exciting to me.
Yeah, that does sound really exciting. And I'm shocked that this doesn't exist. I know there's a lot of moms who independently do homeschool coaching, and I also offer homeschool coaching, but it's difficult for me to find people who need my help that actually want to stay connected.
Right.
And then I think too, yeah, it's hard for parents to find coaches that aren't just in it for money, but also truly want to help, and that's like they're experienced in doing it. So I'm so excited that you have this as part of your platform. And then I was also curious about the curriculum that you said that you were thinking of developing later on down the line. What would that look like?
Yeah, we're not talking too much about that right now. We're still kind of figuring out what that's going to look like, and there's I think there's a lot of competitors that are also looking at in this space too. So we're not talking too much about that right now, but we are, I mean, our sort of philosophy on As I said, there's a lot of great stuff that exists already. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. There's already exceptional content available that we should just integrate with. But we think there are some pretty big gaps out there, and we think there's a lot of things, especially for, I think, sort of this next generation of homeschoolers, when they think about teaching certain subjects, that they feel like sort of across the board, it feels like there's a big gap in certain subjects. And so that's what we're going to look at. And so our goal is never, you know, if someone's already done an exceptional job, then we're going to say, hey, this is great. You know, you should use them and we'll integrate with them. But you know, where we think we can do something truly unique and interesting, we're going to always lean into that, which is actually really, really difficult to do, you know, to build curriculum from scratch. But, you know, over time, I think that's something we'll definitely be working on.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, then what about, like, are you going to also then be integrating this into the school? Like, will schooled kids be able to take advantage of this too if they're not going to be homeschooled? Will there be room for kids who are maybe still going to school and use this there?
Yeah, so we're definitely not going to limit it to homeschoolers at all. We have already had, actually, there's about, as of today, there's almost 8,000 families that are on the wait list. And we have already had people reach out to us that are not homeschooling, that are basically saying, you know, hey, I'm going to send my kid, you know, back to school next year, but I would love for them to have access to Primer to explore their interests as part of these clubs. And so I think that will be super common. I think there's something really powerful about having it mostly be homeschoolers, because I think that oftentimes, especially if you're, you know, just a part of like a local co-op, if you have kids that are really ambitious or they're interested in very specific things, it can be really hard to find local people that are also share those interests, especially if it's something very specific. And so I'm really excited about the power of the internet and Primer to basically bring all those kids together. So every 14-year-old girl that's super interested in physics, you know, there might not be that many in a certain town in, you know, California, in the homeschool co-op there, but there's lots of 14-year-old girls that are super interested in physics all across the US and all across the world. And if you can bring those together, it becomes a really powerful experience for those kids. And so, yeah, we definitely will welcome, you know, anyone who wants to join, but we'll certainly be, you know, we're very, very focused on homeschoolers.
Yeah, I'm excited about the aspect of this being available to people who are also not homeschooled, because I feel like some parents are feeling so crushed that they can't homeschool, whether it's for work reasons or other reasons. And I feel like the fact that this platform is going to be something that they don't have to feel like they're missing out, they can still give their kids an opportunity to pursue their interests. This can be like an after-school fun thing that your kids do. It could be something they do on the weekends or something they only do in the summer, or, you know, that type of thing. So I'm excited to hear about like what your membership stuff. I know you're probably still working all that stuff out. So if anybody who's listening has questions about how to reach you or how to join the wait list or all those types of things, what would be a good way for listeners to reach you?
Yeah, so my email address is Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at withprimer.com, W-I-T-H-P-R-I-N-E-R.com. I'm happy to chat with any homeschool family, any questions, feedback, ideas. I would love to hear them. I literally answer like hundreds of emails from homeschool parents every single day. So I'd love to chat. And then I'm also on Twitter, it's my last name, at D-E-L-K. And then Primer is with Primer.com, W-I-T-H-P-R-I-N-E-R.com. And you can join the waitlist there. And if you do join the waitlist, just shoot me an email afterwards, and I can make sure you're moved to the front of the line. And you know, if you want to beta test or get an early invite, I'm happy to share those as well.
Okay, awesome. So I'll put all of those links. If you guys missed those contact pieces, if you missed that, I'm going to have them in the show notes for the podcast. And then before we go, I want to know where the word Primer came up with. Why did you call it Primer?
So we were going through a bunch of different names. And one of the things we wanted, was a lot of school and education products are really oriented towards younger kids. And so when you hear the name, it resonates a lot with maybe a 6-year-old or a 12-year-old, but we really wanted something that would feel like a 17 or 8-year-old or 18-year-old would be really excited to be a part of. So we were brainstorming names, and then Primer had shown up in a couple books that we had read. And we've kind of been drawn to the name. And then when we started thinking about this sort of double connotation of, you know, priming kids for like the world and for, you know, their development as human beings, and then also, you know, like the primer of sort of like different, like schools, you know, 100 years ago would have primers or primers, depending on how you pronounce it, for different subjects. And so that sort of double meaning was really exciting to us. And so that's why we kind of leaned into it.
Oh, I love that. I love name meanings. Meanings of names, I think, are really powerful. I feel like it speaks a lot of meaning and life and purpose into the platform itself. So I love when names have really strong meanings behind them. So
yeah,
that's awesome. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited to support you on this journey of building this business. And I think it's awesome that you as a homeschooler are contributing back into the homeschool community. So I'm really happy for you and excited to see what becomes of this.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me, Ashley. It was great.
Welcome back to the Homeschool Conversation podcast, where we talk all things homeschool. On today's episode, I have a special guest, Ryan Delk, and he is the creator of a brand new homeschool platform called Primer. And I can't wait for you guys to hear all about the platform, but also for you to hear from a homeschooled kid and his point of view of what it was like to be homeschooled. So if you've never had an opportunity to listen to Ryan, I encourage you that this conversation is going to change the way you think about homeschooling and will even give you some ideas of how you can start taking advantage of all of the help that is out there for you.